Guys may be seated. Now we are Team Jesus and we are here today not only to worship God, but to get equipped in the Word, in the faith, that we may take it out there and show other people. Oh, and how we can show the faith and how we live our lives. Many times we don't even have to speak the gospel. We can show it. We can show the love and the mercy and the kindness and the compassion that draws people towards us. And then we can share with them where that came from. But first we gotta live in such a way, and that's why I talked about being salt and light, a flavor in people's lives, a light to them where it's trapped in darkness. We have to be those that influence. And that's what Team Jesus is all about. Preparing to make a difference. To bring glory to Jesus Christ and God the Father. And helping people find Jesus Christ. To do that, we must understand who we are. What we're about as believers. About as disciples of Jesus Christ. No one was ever called to be a Christian. We were called to be disciples by our Lord. And sold out. Sold out followers of Christ who are obedient. In every way, it's a hard, lifelong path. But that's why He gives us His Spirit, that we may be able to do those things. And the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of that Spirit of kindness, of words of kindness and encouragement and love will flow from us. Truth will flow from us. And we're here today to learn that we might not have as much time as we think. When we came to 2 Peter chapter 3, God really said, put on the brakes almost. He says, you're going to slow way down through this chapter, and you're going to cover this, 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 this. And I just saw all the subjects that are found in this chapter. I'm like, whoa, this is going to be an amazing chapter to go through, but also a tough one. Today we'll be in 2 Peter again with a sermon entitled, Are We Really in the Last Days? Part 4. There's 7 parts, 8 parts to this. I'm telling you, I know this stuff that I'm going to be teaching you, but even as I've looked at it and I've worked slightly ahead and I got some images for the last couple sermons that I'm going to use, and those images, the image is just so powerful. I know this stuff, but to see it is really powerful. I'm like, wow. How close? How close are we? Why we're looking at this is because of verses 1 through 3 in 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir you up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophet and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. Now, is he talking about future last days? When are the last days? We've been talking about this. And what we've discovered through our study here in the first couple times, our timeline here, is that the last days started with the coming of Christ. From that point on, from the Old Testament prophets saying this to the apostles saying this, the last days started to tick with the first coming of Jesus Christ. They will end upon His return, the second coming. But where are we in between that? And there's a tribulation period that's going to happen before He returns. Where are we on the timeline? Well, so far we've looked at 3 things the Scriptures tell us that'll happen towards the end of the end days. Towards this period called the church age that'll come to an end at the tribulation period. That we are near the end. 3 things so far we've looked at. Go to the next slide, Levi. We have looked at the nation of Israel had to be back in the land. Well, that happened in 1948. Talked about the miraculous one day restoration of the nation of Israel. then that Jerusalem would have to be under the control of the Jews, because Jordan first controlled it in 1948 when the Jews came back. But now Jerusalem is under the control of the Jews, and it was finally recognized as the capital in 2017. Why did they need to have Jerusalem? Because there was going to be a temple, a third temple being built. It had to be built in Jerusalem. We looked at last week, they are ready to build the temple. They have everything they need. They're ready to go. So we're going to continue in looking at the signs that tell us where we are in the timeline. Again, we're going to be looking today at the nation of Israel. Because guess what? Everything in the end times revolves around Israel. It doesn't revolve around us. It doesn't revolve around the church. It's all about Israel. Now, the Bible tells us, in the latter years, as the Old Testament puts it, which means the end times, near the end, there's going to be an invasion of Israel from the north, a coalition of nations led by Russia. Before we get to that prophecy, I want to look at a world map. How many of you can see Israel? You guys know the location, some of you, and some of you may not, but how many can you see the United States of America? All right, how about Russia? China? Australia? But you can't see Israel. Yeah, it's such a small little country. It's amazing, a country that you can't even see, technically, right now. All the world will be revolving around in the end. You think it'd be some big country, but no, it's a little country. And it's even more precise than a little Israel. It's about Jerusalem, a little city inside the little nation of Israel. Can't even see Israel, let alone this whole city. So let me do you a little bit of a favor, and I'll zoom in a little bit. Boom! Can you see Israel? No, you can't. I don't even care if you have 20/20 vision, you can't see it. You know where it's supposed to be, but you can't see it. Can you see Ukraine? There's Ukraine. Now I'm going to move down to Israel. Right there. The dot covers the entire nation. That's how small Israel is. People have argued that, you know, Russia is not interested in Israel and something like small as Israel. They're more interested in something like Ukraine, which we know they've been invading for the last, what, 60 days, whatever it's been? Well, yeah, technically, yeah. But this last invasion, and people saying they're struggling with the invasion. Well, you know, invading a country is no small thing. And that's a pretty big country. You know, and taking over a full country is never a small thing. And what I want you to understand is people, when I talk about this invading of Israel, people have started to think because of the news, and it's been a wrong narrative, that Russia's really been getting beat bad by the Ukrainians. And that's not true. Russia's actually accomplished everything she really wanted to accomplish. She's taken control of the entire this side, and that's what she wanted. They've had some issues, no doubt. But people are thinking that Russia just can't do anything. Well, this invasion of Israel, I want to compare to the invasion of Ukraine. The size of this nation compared to this dot. Israel is going to look like nothing compared to Ukraine. It's going to look like a walk in the park compared to this massive country of Ukraine. Let me show you. Go to the next slide, Levi. That's the size of Israel, the nation, compared to the United States. Size of New Jersey. You can drive across Israel in a day. A small little nation. And Russia's going to have help. There's going to be a coalition of nations with her. So it's going to look real easy. It's real tempting to look at this tiny little nation and go, we can take that. To them, it's going to look very easy. But why are they going to want it? What does Israel have that they'll want? So let's go to this prophecy and unfold it. Ezekiel 38. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the military term leader, military political leader, more precise. Set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against him and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I'm against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out. With all your army, horses and horsemen, splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, and all of them handling swords. God stands against this Gog, and this Gog, God is going to put hooks in, and he's going to put this Gog by his own choosing, but put him in a very precarious place. And God's going to use the circumstances. This evil man, this leader, his heart is going to desire, and God's going to use it against him. Now, this Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. Go to the next slide, Levi. This is the area. When Ezekiel was writing this, this was the name of this area. Today, it's not Rosh, it's Russia. And I have a chaplain buddy of mine, and you know, he's one of those that doesn't believe in the book of Revelation and all this sort of stuff. And he likes to make fun and pick. And he always talks about, you know, Rosh. And, you know, it sounds like Russia. And he mocks this. Well, I don't know why he does that, because that's the name of this area during the time of Ezekiel. So Ezekiel's seeing this vision, this prophecy, and he's seeing this splendid army come from the north, led from the leader of Rosh. And this is going to happen in the last days. And this is what he's naming here. This is what he's seeing. Meshach is part of Turkey and Magog. All those used to be part of the old Soviet Union. And Iran there, Put, which is Libya mostly, and Kush, which is Sudan, Ethiopia region. Again, Libya and Sudan are the only two countries, I think, in Africa that haven't recognized Israel as a nation. And they're in league with Iran and with Turkey and with Russia. Russia has troops in Libya right now and in Sudan. They're all connected. Here's the coalition that's going to attack this little tiny country of Israel. Let's go back to Ezekiel 38, verse 8. In the latter years, there you go, Old Testament for the last days. In the latter years, you will come, this is talking about Gog, you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel. They were driven out of the land by the sword of the Romans, 70 AD to 135 AD. Israel existed no more. They were scattered among the nations. But God says, I'm going to bring these people. You're going to invade a land of people I have brought back from the sword and gathered from many people, many nations, on the mountains of Israel. Well, who is that? That's the Jews. Which says the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. We talked about Mark Twain and the nation of Israel being born in a day, how the land was desolate until the Jews came back in 1948. So Gog's going to invade Israel. A land that used to be desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. The safest place in the Middle East right now is Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind and you will make an evil plan. Gog has an evil plan. Verse 11. And you will say, I will go out against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people. The Jews want peace with everybody. They're not wanting to fight anybody. They defend themselves because they know they're surrounded by enemies for the most part. But they want peace. They're not looking to start any wars. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Why? To destroy them? No. Verse 12, to take plunder, to take booty, to take wealth. To stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and against a people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. What does Israel have that Russia would want? For a long time, we weren't really quite sure. Until the last 6-7 years. Going back to 2015, it started to make sense. Potential game-changing oil reserves discovered in Israel. All right, this is back in 2015. Massive. They were talking about here on the side or bigger than the oil fields of Saudi Arabia. Massive. In the Golan Heights. Golan Heights, I'll talk about here in a little bit, but it was captured in 1967, the Six-Day War. It was originally part of ancient Israel, but Syria took it, control of it. But Six-Day War, the Jews conquered it back and won it back. But a huge amount of gas and oil. But it didn't stop here. They just seemed to keep finding it. Next slide. Significant natural gas discovery made off Israel's shore. So not just inland, off the shore, they have found humongous deposits of natural gas. This energy company, next slide, this energy company, Energene, announces new gas discovery. They just keep discovering. This is this year, May 10th. They've been discovering more and more since 2015. It just seems just to keep coming. Now, going back to 2016, next slide. European Union, the EU, keen to buy natural gas from Israel. Why are they wanting to buy gas from Israel back in 2016? Where do they get most of their gas? Russia. And Russia makes them pay. Back in 2016, they were trying to already figure a way to get off Russian gas and Israel, and gas seemed to find all this gas. Now, when this started happening, these talks started happening in 2016, there was concern already about Russia. Next slide, Levi. This is an article under this EU keen to buy natural gas where it talks about Russia coming into the picture, that if the people of the European Union did take gas from Israel and cut out Russia, Russia might get involved here in the Middle East affairs. Because Moscow is very interested in Israeli energy. Why? Because it competes with his energy, Russia's energy. Because what's the economy of Russia? What do they produce besides vodka? What do they produce for the world? That's it. Most of it comes from Ukraine, though, which used to be part of Russia. But right now, they don't produce anything. Their economy is solely based on their energy supplies. And that's why Russia would be very interested in Israel cutting in on their business. So in 2017, next slide, Israel signs pipeline deal and push to export gas to Europe. So this was in 2017. Here's the pipeline. It bypasses Russia, and it bypasses Turkey. Which, you remember, Turkey is part of this coalition that attacks Israel from the north to take their wealth. Turkey was very upset that this pipeline was going to cut them out, because they wanted it to come through Turkey so they could take a cut. But this pipeline cuts it out. So they started building this pipeline. Until this year. Biden administration kills Israel to Europe gas pipeline. He just likes killing pipelines. But he stopped it. He didn't even consult with Israel or Cyprus or Greece. He just stopped. I didn't even know this until this week. I stumbled upon this because it didn't make the news. And as I was researching and everything, I stumbled on this. This was February 15th, 2022. I did not know he killed the pipeline. But he did. And he did it in cahoots with Turkey. Next slide. In this, it had several bullet points in this article and talking about the disastrous decision. And this was a victory for Turkey. The Turkish government has always insisted that the Israeli gas can only be sold to Europe through Turkey. Next slide. It also, bullet point, this closing of this pipeline secures Russian energy will be what Europe has to use. And Turkey, it's wanting to dominate just as much as Russia is. So this is the beginning of this year. Last week, 7 days ago, this happened. Next slide. Israel and Egypt just signed a deal to export gas to Europe until 2015. Israel says, fine, you kill the pipeline, we'll just go through Egypt. Egypt's already buying Israeli gas. They've been buying Israeli gas for a long time at a very cheap rate. You know Lebanon, that's north of Israel, that hates Israel, and their country is in shambles, their government, their economy has collapsed. Do you know where they get their gas? They get it from Egypt. But do you know where that gas came from? Israel. Israel would ship it straight north at a very low cost for Lebanon, but Lebanon can't do that to save face, so they buy Israeli gas from Egypt that goes up to Jordan and then comes into Lebanon. But it's Israeli gas. Egypt now is going to be the flow into Europe. This is the European Union president here, this lady, getting this deal signed. Remember, Egypt is not part of the invasion. Egypt is not in there. Next slide. The EU president here, signing this deal, and this is what she said. We are very interested in disengaging from Russian gas. We want Israeli gas to arrive before winter of this year, which I know it's so hot out there, but it's only a couple months away. They want it arriving in Europe before the winter. That means fall. Next slide. Putin, humiliated as Israel turns on its ally, they've had a rocky relationship at best, ally Russia to strike major energy deal with EU. I'm not saying Putin is God, but boy, he fits the description. And we wonder what, for years, theologians wonder, what does Israel have that Russia would want? And it's very clear now, Russia wants to control all energy in the area. He wants to control Europe and be the only source of their gas and energy. Remember the Golan Heights I talked about? Right there, the Golan Heights. Now here's Israel. You know, Israel's right here. Syria's right here. This is the border. The Golan Heights right here, Golan, is a mountainous region, again, that the Israelis captured in 1967 when Syria attacked them, along with many other nations. And they took it, and they've held on to it, and it's part of Israel, and it's got a lot of gas there. That's where they found all the gas, lots of it. Now, go to the next slide. There it is. The massive oil reserves have been located in the Golan Heights. Now, next slide. Russia takes issue with Israeli sovereignty over what? The Golan Heights and Jerusalem. This was February 24th of this year. Why would they put that out all of a sudden? Is this going to be an excuse for the invasion? Well, we believe this land really belongs to our ally Syria, because guess what? There are a ton of Russian troops in Syria right now, along with Turkish troops and Iranian troops and troops from Sudan and Libya. Never happened in human history until now. And the Bible said this would happen in the latter years. Is Putin already laying the groundwork? The UN has already helped him. The UN passed a resolution against Israel, which is no big surprise. But they passed a resolution that condemns and that they occupy the Golan. So Russia could use that as an excuse to invade. But they're really invading not for Syria's sake, for the land's sake. They're invading to get the gas that Israel is going to undercut the Russian economy with. Maybe. Maybe. Ezekiel 38, verse 8. In the latter years you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which has long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. Verse 11, you will say, I will go against a land of unwalled people, villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder, to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and against the people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. Last month, Russian troops fired upon Israeli jets for the first time in Syria. Russia right now is doing joint patrols with the Syrians, their army and their air force, along the border of Syria and Israel, especially 2 weeks ago. And it was actually, they flew over the Golan Heights. There's Russian troops in Syria now, Turkish troops, Iranian troops. Again, this coalition has never existed in human history. The Bible says in the end times, the latter years, they will come together and they'll be north of Israel. They'll invade from the north. And all of a sudden now we have these elements, these details from Scripture playing out on the world stage. Israel is going to appear to be able to, they can take it easily. Especially because the Israeli government just collapsed. And their interim prime minister before the elections, or the one that's is this liberal, you know, liberal. And liberals don't do great on the world stage dealing with tyrants. So Israel's in a very, very dangerous place right now when looking at Russia. They're not expecting it. The world's not expecting that. And they're going to be taken by surprise when Russia, who's been their quote-unquote ally, invades. And they're not going to be ready. And the Bible's very clear that God steps in and destroys supernaturally this army, this invading army. So the world will know that He is God. Just like when He planted them back in the land in 1948. So the world should have known that there was a God in Israel. The pieces are set for this invasion. When will it happen? Well, some say, well, will it happen at all? Yeah, it will. When? We don't know. The Bible says in the last days it'll happen. You'll see these details. Well, we're seeing these details. So, let's look at our timeline. Nation of Israel, back in the land. Jerusalem, capital, check. Third temple ready to be built, check. Ezekiel, Gog, war. Everything, all the pieces are there. It could happen at any time. It's going to take the world completely by surprise. And many think that in this prophecy of Ezekiel 38, the prophecy of Isaiah 17, the destruction of Damascus, which is in Syria, will happen maybe together. Basically, the prophecy of Damascus is, it's the longest, it holds the record, and they boast about this. Damascus is the longest, the oldest city that's been around the longest in human history, occupied, inhabited. It's always been inhabited, since anyone can remember in human history. But the prophecy in Isaiah 17 says that Damascus will become unlivable. Just a heap, a destruction. It's going to be destroyed. And it's going to be destroyed overnight. The prophecy talks about people going to bed and waking up and Damascus is no more. Does this have something to do with the invasion from Syria? If we see this invasion, and there's a very good chance we could as the church, or the destruction of Damascus, you need to know something. It's what this chart, this little thing is showing you, and it's going to get even better over the next 3 or 4 weeks. Even more amazing. We're near the end. Closing in on it. So how do we deal with that? Easy. Romans 13. And do this. Come on up, team. And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The armor of God. Each piece is Jesus Christ. We're to live, breathe, Jesus Christ. That's what we're about. Why? Because time is short. And it's the only thing that matters. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your word and the specificity of it. Giving us the details down to just amazing detail, Lord. And your prophecies come true. And Lord, you're telling us, you're telling the church worldwide, it's time to wake up. We're going to be standing before you soon. And we're going to give an account. And you want us to be able to give a good account to you. So Lord, I ask you to help us. Yes, we still have our lives to live, our jobs to do, school. But Lord, let us take every opportunity to take all those things and make it about glorifying you. Use those things and those opportunities to share you with others. To let people know what is happening in the times we live. Lots of people are talking about it, Lord. What they're asking, what's going on in this world? What's happening? Where are we? And here the Christian is with all the truth in their hands and the Word of God. And many are silent. Lord, let us not be silent. There is a cause you have called us to. You have rallied us to your cause. You have saved us and baptized us into the family of God, into the church. And the church has a mission. The church has a cause. And the cause is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the great commission of leading sinners to salvation in Jesus Christ. And then teaching them all things that you have taught us. Lord, help us understand the time. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, we got 3 minutes till 12, so we got to sing this song really quick so I can be done by 12 and look real good. All right? So let's stand up and sing this last song. You guys can slide out without anyone noticing. Let's sing. Called to proclaim. Let's go do it, Team Jesus. 12 o'clock! Look at that! Check that out. Check it out. Check it out. Before it gets to... Oh! 12:01! Close. Pretty close. Alright. Let's break out of here. Let's go live for Jesus Christ this week. Let's share Jesus Christ with as many people as God will allow. Let's be salt and light. Let's show them love. Let's show them something different than the world is showing people. Let's get the job done for our Lord. We were His cause. He came for the cause of setting us free, and He died for that cause. And now we take up His cause, which is to help other people find Him. Let's go do it. Let's go do it. Let's break out of here on the count of three. One, two, three. Break!